So we're going to continue through Proverbs this morning as we have for the last few weeks. And there we go. So Proverbs, wisdom for life. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about speech. But what do we say? So this whole five-minute conversation thing was actually a test. I'm just kidding. but Proverbs has a lot to say about speech, about the tongue, about how we talk, right? We all know that old adage, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Right. And how many of you have found that true in your life? Words affect us. How many of us have lost sleep over something that was said to us? How many of us have lost sleep over something that we said, right? As we try to pull our foot out of our mouth. Words affect us. And God knows that words impact us. God knows that we have a hard time with what we say. And He made us. He knows us. And in fact, as you look through the book of Proverbs, as I mentioned last week, once you get to Proverbs chapter 10, it's a collection of sayings. It's a collection of proverbs, and they're all mixed up, and you kind of have to go through, read through, and I really believe that they are laid out in a seemingly random pattern because it makes us have to dig harder. Because if you so many proverbs that you think I've heard that somewhere, and if you go through and you look through Proverbs, it's not like, okay, I got to work on my speech, so I'm going to look at the chapter on speech. It's scattered all through the book, and what I have found in my life is that when I search for something, when I'm searching for a piece of wisdom in Proverbs, I usually end up finding what I actually need to find, not necessarily what I was trying to find. Because, there's often a difference between what we want and what we need, right? And God knows our hearts. And I have found, I've studied Proverbs many times over the years, that every time I go through it, I learn something that I need to learn, that God knows I need to learn. And so Proverbs covers a whole array of topics. But when it comes to speech, do you know that there are over 90 verses in Proverbs that talk about how we talk? 90 verses. Now, we're not going to go through them all this morning. We're just going to pull out some highlights. But as you read through Proverbs, I don't believe you can get through a single chapter of Proverbs without coming across something to say about how we talk. And like I said, it's because God knows us. God designed us. And the truth is that we talk a lot. Some of us more than others. But I came across something that said the average North American talks 700 times a day. So forget how many words we use a day. You have 700 times you open your mouth to say something. Now some of us more than others. Some young children perhaps speak more than 700 times a day. Some of us, not so much. But the tongue is a powerful thing. And James, in jumping to the New Testament, in James 3, 5 to 6, in fact, almost the whole of James chapter 3 is talking about the tongue. And he says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And we can relate to that illustration. But the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. James has some very strong words in fact, when you look at the book of James, this is the very middle of the book. It's the most important thing that James is talking about in his epistle. So, the tongue is an important thing. Like I said, Proverbs has much to say about it. So the first point that I want to look at is that when it comes to the tongue, when it comes to our words, that our words have a moral status. God holds our words to a moral standard. What comes out of our mouth has its source in our heart. Our words don't just come out of nowhere. Our words point to the state of our heart. And so our words are important. And so we start off with verses like 20, 15. And just, I do have all of the verses up on the screen, just so you know, if you don't have to be scouring through Proverbs, but you are, of course, please do if you have a Bible with you. Proverbs 20, 15 says, "There is gold and abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." He's saying that words, knowledgeable words, are rare. Words that actually have some authority, that have some knowledge, that have a firm grounding behind them are rare. Rarer than precious jewels, rarer than gold. I think we know this is true. Have you ever listened to somebody talk and it's readily apparent that they have no idea what they're talking about? It's pretty hard to find someone that actually knows what they're talking about at times. And when you listen out there, whether it be somebody on the news or just talking, hear people talking to each other, or the pit of all despair when it comes to speech, of course, is social media. You know, it doesn't take much to find someone who just obviously doesn't know what they're talking about. Words of knowledge are rare, and they're a precious jewel. And God wants us to be ones that speak truth, not falsehoods. And so our words have a moral status, because Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight." See, God cares about whether what we say is knowledgeable, whether what we say is true or false. God detests lying. But lies are so common in our world, aren't they? People lie. Whether it be just, again, just in passing conversation, whether it be in business. My dad, who is a politician, his favorite saying is, "How can you tell when a politician is lying? His lips are moving." My dad spent a lot of time in politics. We are surrounded by lies. Advertisements lie. I came across this. Of course, this is not hard to find on this. You can see this, but a little bit bigger on the screen. But this is here, you know, Hershey's chocolate syrup with calcium. And look at the nutritional information. Calcium is 0%. I think that means once you add the milk, there's calcium. Or, right, how many of us have had a hamburger that looks like the top one? Right? Or, you know, here we go. Here's a collection of packaged food, right? How it's advertised and what it really looks like when you serve it. I don't even know what that one in the bottom corner of the smart ones. I don't know. Lies are all around us, right? There's falsehoods. And that matters. It matters to God. Lying is a big deal to God. And so we find throughout Proverbs the admonition to speak truthfully, to not speak in falsehood, to not speak out of ignorance. Speak out of knowledge, to speak out of wisdom, to speak out of truth. But sometimes it's not just about being the one who's doing the lying or the one who's doing the saying. In Proverbs, when it comes to lying, just as in how God feels about this, Proverbs 6:16-19 tells us there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and anyone who sows discord among brothers. Lying is a big deal to God. And similar to that last verse there, the one who sows discord among brothers, in Proverbs 18:8 says the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels when they go down into the inner parts of the body. This is talking about not just the one who does the lying, but this one is talking about gossip, right? The words of a whisperer, right? How many of us like to, you know, we want to hear those words, right? Somebody says, hey, I got something. I got to, you know what? I want to tell you something. You wouldn't believe. What? Right? How many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, give ear to the things that are whispered, the words that are untrue? It's been said that our families, our churches, our relationships can bear an awful lot, can bear some pretty significant transgressions. When you look at the things that the relationships in your life have survived, stealing, cheating, hardship. It's amazing what our relationships can survive of when we think about what we consider really big sins. But the one thing that we have a really hard time surviving is rumors. The whispered. The quiet whispers. The quiet whispers that sow discontent. We have a really hard time withstanding ongoing, persistent whispers and rumors. They are the things that destroy silently and destroy from within. Now, we may think that we're not party to it. It's like, okay, if I'm not saying it and it's not being said about me, then it's not my issue. The trouble is that there is there's always, almost always, three parties involved. There was a book that came out a number of years ago called The Bully, the Bullied, and the Bystander. It was one that Dana read in school. And it talked about how when it comes to bullying, whether it be with kids or with adults, whatever the situation be, that there's three parties involved. There's the one who's doing the bullying, there's the one who's being bullied, and there's the bystander, the one who sits, who doesn't interfere, who just listens, who gives audience. And it talked about recognizing each of those three roles. And it is amazing how powerful the third party can be when they say, you know what, no, I'm not going to be an audience. I'm not going to give ear to this. I'm not going to stand by. I'm not going to be a bystander. And Proverbs 31, 8, and 9 talks about this being the third party. It says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. See, there's great wisdom in being the one that speaks up, who speaks wisely, who calls out a lie, who calls out someone who's mistreating someone who has less power, who is vulnerable. And so when it comes to speech and how we're supposed to live as Christians, it's not just about what we say, but at times it's about stepping up and speaking into a situation that seemingly doesn't affect us, speaking up for someone else. So the question is, do we speak up? When there are those who are whispering rumors, when there are those who are slandering, when there are those who are spreading false information, do we speak up and say, hey, whoa, hold up. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's true. I think you need to go talk to the person rather than talking about them. Or simply say, you know what, I'm not going to listen. We need to open our mouth for the mute, for those that can't speak, for those who are destitute. Judge righteously and defend the rights of the poor and needy. Because words also, going back to that, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We all know that that's false, because words have emotional power. Emotional power. Words have the power to do the damage that is unseen. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." So, do you love life? Do you love death? The tongue has the power for both. And we will be held to account for our words. Jesus in Matthew 12, starting at verse 33, says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." We'll be held account because our careless words can do real damage. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like a sword, are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." It's like the phrase, right? In English, we have that phrase, right? "That was a very cutting remark." Right? It's a very cutting remark. Because those are the kind of words that truly cut like a sword. Like Proverbs says, words are like sword thrusts. Words can hurt, and words can do real damage. The other common saying, right, is that time heals all wounds. Right? How many of us have lived long enough to find out that that's not necessarily true? That there are some wounds that time alone cannot heal. That's why the last part of this, the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, ignoring an injury, ignoring a hurt, doesn't make it go away. So I said last week when you're talking about friendship, the one illustration I use, this fellow who's studied trauma survivors, and he's found that those who had friends that they could confide in, that they could talk to, recovered from trauma in a far better way than those who could not. See, those that have wise people who speak into their lives, that bring healing words, can help with the help of God to heal the wounds of the heart. Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." And Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." See, our words can bring healing. They can bring food. They can be the fountain of life. Or they can bring death. They can be like sword blows. Or they can cause death through a lack of sense. Our words are powerful. And our words speak to people's hearts. And we have to realize that our words can be good or bad, that they can bring healing or that they can wound. And we have to learn to seek to speak well so that our words do bring healing, so that our words do bring comfort. But our words alone don't get things done. This is the other caveat. Proverbs 14:23, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." Again, you ever known somebody that was all talk, but no action? Right? You hear people, they talk about, "Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to invest in this, I'm going to build up this, I'm going to do this," and they never do it. and they sit back and they're like, oh yeah, one day, you know, I'm gonna have the big truck, I'm gonna have the big house and all that. It's like, so and you're working towards that. Oh no, it's gonna come. In all toil and in all work, there's profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Again, this is something where I really think that we should have to read the book of Proverbs before we're allowed on Facebook. Because it is just, at times, a wasteland. And as you read through, and there's so many better ways to spend our day than to read through some of the stuff that's on there, but it is so easy to find so-called experts that know this is what you need to do. And people that sit behind their keyboards and keyboard warriors who know the solution to everything. Like I said, my dad's been in politics for many years and he has received countless emails and whatnot from people that know exactly what they needs to be done to fix everything. But people who don't ever put any of their so-called knowledge into action. That won't take steps to actually do something. Some people simply talk and talk and talk, but they don't ever put the words into action. Proverbs reminds us that work is good, and there's a lot to say about work. That's a whole other topic. But just simply talking about it won't get it done. And so, how do we talk better? Okay, I'm going to give you three simple steps this morning. The first thing, stop saying foolish things. No, it sounds easy. I know, it sounds easy, but right? We go a long way sometimes by just keeping our mouth shut. And Proverbs talks about that too, about how a wise man will hold his tongue. Or that well-known saying again, it's better that people think you a fool than you open your mouth and prove it beyond a doubt. The first step to speaking well is taking the time to not speak. Taking the time to hold your words, to think about them. If you're not sure that what you're about to say is a foolish thing, err on the side of caution. And I got to be honest with you, this is something that is I have to constantly work on. And even just yesterday, you know, something happened, and I had my wonderful, wise wife was like, "You just take a moment, calm down, and deal with it later." So we can start talking better by starting to talk less. The second thing is, when we do talk, start saying something encouraging. Think of what you can say to someone to encourage them. If you have something good and encouraging to say, say it. Again, it's the wisdom of Disney. What was the line? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Look for something nice to say. Look for something encouraging to say, and say it. And finally, you've moved on to that. Start saying wise things. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of a wise person instructs his mouth. It adds learning to his speech." It starts with our heart. How do we get wisdom in our hearts? Well, first of all, as it says in James, ask for it, and God will give it abundantly. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask for it. Beyond asking for it, seek it out. Read through the book of Proverbs. A great exercise that I did for many years in different seasons of life was to just read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And the handy thing about Proverbs is that it's 31 chapters. So, look at a calendar, see what day it is, and read that chapter. Today's the 12th. And yeah, Andre just looked at what chapter 12, verse 1 says, didn't he? Because I can see that look on his face. Okay, because chapter, you know what? It's actually great, because today is whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. It's the wisdom of Proverbs. Seek wisdom. Seek wise counsel. Ask God for wisdom. Read his word. Seek wise counsel. Ask for some wise people to speak into your life. Ask God to bring the people that you need into your life and let them speak wise words to your heart. Seek out someone that you can speak wisdom into their lives. It goes both ways. As you grow in wisdom, wisely share it. Say wise things. Above all, when it comes to speech, when it comes to words, we have to remember that all of the wisdom we have here in God's Word is rooted in God, in who He is. It's what He has revealed to us. And that if we are followers of Christ, that this isn't just an optional thing. That how we speak, how we represent ourselves is a reflection on the church. It's a reflection on God for each of us that calls ourselves a Christian. And so speaking well is important, far more for our own far beyond our own reputation, but also because we are to be God's salt and light. We are to be his witness in the world. And if we are people who don't speak well, who speak foolishly, who speak hurtfully, we're not being a very good witness. Above all, we have to remember that if we are followers of Christ, that we have in us the word that endures. We just went through this. Apparently, it's not on the last slide. A few weeks ago, I guess a couple months ago now, when we were going through the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25 reads, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word. This word is the good news that was preached to you." See, as fallible as our words are, we have to remember that we are rooting our lives in the infallible, unperishable word of God. And it's that word of God is the good news. And so as we seek to live lives of wisdom, as we seek to speak well, we must remember that at its heart of it all is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you as you go this week, take pause, consider your words before you speak them. Encourage where you can encourage, and speak wisdom where you can speak wisdom. Because, as Jesus said, our words matter, and we will be held to account for our words. And so seek wisdom. Seek God. Ask Him for that wisdom. As we conclude this morning, taking the Lord's Supper,